We'll get right into the Word of God this morning. If you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. I want to begin there. Praise the Lord. I heard this, that this dad went to play golf, but he wore two pair of pants when he went to playing golf. And he's asked why. He said, because he had a hole in one. Sorry, that's the best dad joke I can come up with right now. I've got a bunch of them, but I won't tell them all. I want to talk to you today about the father of faith. In Genesis chapter 6, we have a picture here of Noah being a father of faith. And also, cross-reference there in Hebrews 11 and 7. But let's notice Genesis 6 first. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth also in those days, also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men. And they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made men on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And also in Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Father, I pray, Lord, today that your Holy Spirit, God, would just anoint me, Lord, to speak and anoint all of us to hear, to receive. I pray that your Holy Spirit would talk to the heart and the soul of every person here, as only you can do. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father of faith. Fathers are important. And I believe it was Richard Nixon that made the Father's Day to be a national holiday. He made it a Father's Day before too much water went out of the gate. Richard Nixon. Okay. But let's look at Noah's time here if we can. It was not a pretty picture here, but anyway, it's described here. It was a time when the earth was nearing judgment. And the reason was that because all flesh on the earth, all people on the earth had corrupted themselves. And 6 and 11 of Genesis, it says, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, so God looked on the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. That sounds pretty global to me. All flesh, all humanity had corrupted their way up on the earth. And it reached a time of judgment. God would pour out his judgment upon the earth. And it would be global. It would be everywhere. Amen. And if it wasn't for one verse, you and I wouldn't be here today. And that is verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There was one man, one father there, of three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, that God would spare because Noah was a man of God. It says in verse 9 of Genesis 6, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Here was a father in the midst of a corrupt society, not a corrupt world, who still had relationship with God, who still loved God, who still had a desire to serve the Lord, and still wished that his family and other people would be saved from judgment. And so Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Man. So in a place where there was no decent place to rear children, to pursue anything godly, there were no godly examples for children to build their lives on or about, and there's nobody that behaved in a God-fearing manner except Noah. It was a lost world, and they were completely absent of the fear of God, a reverence and respect for God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Somehow in the midst of this corrupt world, one man, one father, served God. One father still loved his family, still taught God's ways to his family. However, and somehow Noah taught his family about who one true God really was, who was in charge. And let me say to all fathers, self included here today, you need to be that one man who still stands for the truth. That one man who still stands against evil. That one man who still sets a godly example for his family. Amen. And so we know, we can say, well, I don't see how Noah made it. Didn't he worry himself to death? There's no reference here that Noah faded away in worry, fear, or despair, or depression, or just felt like he couldn't make it anymore. He walked with God. He had a relationship with God, and that's why that he was saved. Of course, he was saved because he believed what God said. There was going to come a judgment on the earth. But all mankind was corrupt. Evil had prevailed, and God knew it was time to send judgment upon this earth. And God, was God cruel to do that? No, God in his righteousness could do nothing else except judge sin. The only exception was Noah. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you say, well, I just don't like grace preaching. Let me tell you something. You're saved today by grace. That's the only reason you and I are on our way to heaven, is because God in his mercy gave grace to you and I. Amen. And so it'd be a good idea for us to show grace to somebody, because there's a day when you'll need grace. When I was a kid, I once was one, but I was speeding down the highway, and I shouldn't have been. I thought I was going somewhere to conduct a Bible study. Highway patrolman pulled me over and let me know that I was speeding. And I needed grace and wanted some. I didn't preach to him. I needed grace and wanted some, but I didn't have any. I had to pay for it. But he did the right thing. He was a law enforcement officer, and he was enforcing the law. And we'd be in a mess if there was no law. And so, but don't keep from showing grace, because you'll need it one day. And all God's dealing with humanity is an act of his grace. I'm going to preach on grace for a minute here, if it's okay. Well, just grant me grace to do this. So, all of God's dealing with humanity is an act of his grace. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. It's the work of God. You know, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so, salvation is a work of grace. Our walk daily with God is an act of God's grace, that he would be with us, that he would protect us, that he would carry anything about us is an act of God's grace. And we're not only stand in grace today, we're upheld by his grace. You say, well, I can make this alone. I don't need God's help. No. You'll fall miserably if you don't have God's help. You're upheld by his grace. And his grace is all sufficient for all things. And there's always been enough of God's favor, God's grace for the hour, regardless of what it was. God never runs out of mercy, of grace, of love. He never runs out of the ability to help you, to walk you through whatever life circumstances may give to you. He is never absent. He's a present Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so, this is brought out in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul, because Paul had received great revelations of God. As a matter of fact, he was caught up to the third heaven and saw things that weren't lawful for a man to speak. And so he knew what it was to be in contact with God. Jesus had appeared personally on him to the road to Damascus at his conversion. And so he was a man that had great revelations of God. And there was And he was responsible for all of what God had done for him. And he says in the book of 2 Corinthians, he says, "And lest I should be exalted above everybody else and everything else," so many words. He said, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, lest I should be exalted above measure." And this, he wasn't demon-possessed, no. But there was a messenger of Satan that bothered him. And he said, "I prayed three times, Lord, take this thing away from me." And God's reply was, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I want to tell you, whatever you're facing today, whatever you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. There's always enough. Matter of fact, with God, there's always an overabundance of supply. There's always more. And so God gives grace. That doesn't mean that we should take grace and say, "I can do anything I want to because I've got grace." I'll tell you, friend, God's grace is to keep us out of trouble. And God's grace is to keep us on our walk here with God. Noah walked with God. Noah needed God's grace. Noah again needed God's help in a world that was terribly corrupt and all flesh was corrupt except he and his family. You think he didn't need the grace of God to help him through? Yes, he did. I want to tell you, the same is true today in our world that we live in, which no doubt in many places is all evil, and that's all the news that we hear about, that God's grace is sufficient. You can walk with this God. You can talk. He's powerful. He's more gracious. He's more powerful than anything you've faced or will face in this world. You need Him. So His grace is sufficient. And so it was a time of revelation. God graciously revealed to Noah what was about to happen. Genesis 6 and 13. God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come up before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and I will destroy them with the earth." And God didn't say, "I'm just going to let this happen to them and they can figure it out." God told Noah, revealed to Noah exactly what he was about to do. Okay? And God endeavored to reveal this to everyone else, because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They just didn't listen and wouldn't repent. And so we see here that that's Noah's time, but Noah was warned by God as well. Hebrews 11, we find that Noah was moved by godly fear, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. And so God warned Noah of coming judgment, of unseen things. Noah couldn't see the flood. He wasn't used to the rain pouring down. But he believed God. And faith doesn't always reveal to the eye what will happen. But because God is who He says He is, we believe when we don't see. And our God is a heavenly Father who sees. Our Father sees. Amen. And children don't understand why they can't do this and why they can't do that, because mom or dad said not to. And, you know, you can't reason with dad when you're 13 because you're smarter than they are anyway. You know that's a joke. When you're about 25, you realize that mom and dad knew more than you thought they did. Okay? But anyway, when we... there's things we just have to believe God for. And today, even though Noah couldn't see the flood, and today I can't see heaven visibly with my physical eye, but I believe. We can't physically see Jesus, but we believe because faith has been planted in our heart toward God. We can't see judgment day coming, but we believe we are near judgment because Bible prophecy tells us so. Amen. Bible prophecy says there's bad things coming upon the earth. 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know in the last days perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of sins, proud, boasters, goes on and on, names a bunch of the things, reasons why God will judge the earth one day. Perilous times. Yes, I believe we are living in perilous times. I believe we're on the brink of the coming of the Lord. We don't know when or what day or what hour, but we do know that He said, I'm coming again, and so we just believe that He is. I don't blindly believe anything. If God said it, it will happen. Man. And also bad things coming, but there's also good things in the midst of bad things. Great prophecy is mentioned in the book of Acts. It shall come to pass, not maybe, not perhaps, but it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's the good things that are coming. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I've had a few dreams that I thought were from God. And as I get older, I'm pretty sure that they might be visions instead of dreams. Your old men will dream dreams. If you get it. Young men shall see visions. My servants and handmaids will all pour out that spirit. But I'm not here to preach about dreams and visions. I'm just knowing that God reveals Himself and said He would in the last days. Today, how we need earthly fathers to lead us spiritually. I'll tell you something. There are people here today, no doubt, across the land, Facebook, whatever, didn't have a good father. I had a good one, but there's people that didn't. I want to tell you something. God the Father in heaven can replace if you didn't have a godly father. God the Father in heaven will always be you can call Him Father. And matter of fact, Jesus even said when you pray, pray like this. Say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've got somebody who watches over, who protects, who keeps. You can trust this Father in heaven that we have. Praise the Lord. Mighty Father. And so, perilous times coming, yet but good things. God will pour out His Spirit in the last days. And my friend, we need to take advantage of this. Jesus said, I'm going to pour My Spirit out. He says, don't wait. Yes, just tarry in Jerusalem till you're clothed with power from on high. Amen. Doesn't mean you have to go to Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit has already come. He's here. Praise God. He can fill anybody at any time. But I look at my earthly father. And the house that I grew up in, you know, we weren't fancy. We didn't have a lot of stuff. Amen. We had clothes to wear and food to eat. We were farmers. And so my dad always made sure he grew enough for us. Many other people, we grew peanuts was the main crop, watermelons and cantaloupes, subcrops, black-eyed peas, and corn. You want me to go on or is that enough? You find out our people were farmers. And things weren't fancy there, but, you know, we basically did two things in our life. We worked and went to church. Church attendance was not optional with my father. If you were alive and kicking, you were going. If you were sick, you went to be prayed. So they prayed for the sick. Now, there's times we stayed home sick. But living for God was not optional. It's not something I just decided to do today or all. If things get going bad enough, then we'll call on God. No. Worship of the one that created us was not optional, and it shouldn't be optional today. Praise God, because if you really love God, you want to worship Him, the one who created us, the one who gives you your next breath, the next heartbeat. He deserves our worship. And so we must give Him worship. And so my dad was a spiritual leader. Noah was a spiritual leader. He was a high priest of his home. His three sons believed their father had heard from God, or they wouldn't have helped him build the ship. And so Noah was moved by godly fear. When you see the fear of God in Scripture, it doesn't talk about being scared of God. It talks about reverence and respect for who He is as the Creator, as the giver of life. And so he was moved by fear, not in the sense of being scared, but a reverent fear of knowing that what God said, God would do. And when God said, I'm going to destroy the earth by a flood, Noah believed what God said to him. There's no question as to whether God really meant it. If God said it, He meant it. Amen. And he believed. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Noah heard God and he believed. I'm glad he did. Praise the Lord. And the father of this earthly father, Noah, he was moved by love and commitment to God, to all peoples, all things. He's a preacher of righteousness. And Jesus has a word to say about commitment. And Jesus knew exactly what it was to be committed to the will of His Heavenly Father. But God makes loving Him so strong, and loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind has to come above all other loves. He said, well, He just didn't know about the girl that I met or the man that I met. Yeah, He does. He knows just exactly about it. Some of them, you shouldn't have met them. Anyway. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 37, it tells us that our love for God has to go beyond just the natural love of man, wife, son, and daughter. Matthew 10, 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now that's strong language there. But there should be no, that means if son or daughter backslides and doesn't live for God, that I keep on living for God because I love God too much to turn away from Him. And he does not take, he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. What Jesus is saying there, if you're not willing to go with me all the way until death, then you're not worthy of me. I know in our marriage vows we'll say until death do us part. But if you're with Christ, you don't part at death. You only ascend to the Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so Father's love for family is strong. It's good. And people should take time for their family. You know, kids, they want more than anything you can buy them. They'd like to have your time. They'd like you to sit down and talk to them. They'd like to sit down and play with them. You say, well, I can't play other video games. Let me tell you something. There were toys before video games. I used to get blocks of wood and pretend it was a four-wheeler. No, they didn't have four-wheelers then. But anyway, I'd pretend it was a vehicle. And so Noah perhaps thinks of that child that he played with that was a kid, Ham, Shem, or Japheth. Maybe Noah remembers that first time that one of them said, you know, I love you, Dad. Maybe one of those kids remember the first fishing trip. Or the walk through the woods with an innocent child. I remember my dad walking with me, and he didn't do much time in the woods. He didn't hunt, he didn't fish. He was a working man, and you just worked from daylight to dark, and then you sit back and wonder why you're so tired. But a few times my dad walked with me through the woods, and he would explain to me what things were. You know, why turtles move and have only have four paws and one head. And what certain things animals did. And so I remember lovingly those time that my dad took for me. A man the other day told me, he was doing some work on our house, and he said, I have two girls, and said they just kind of do their own thing. He said, I got a son, and we've got a little stream out the back of our place, and he's always, you don't ever see him. Once the sun rises, he goes out there, and he walks along. He said he picks up bugs and frogs and turtles and anything else he can find. He said, he's not like the girls that stay at home and help Mom. And I told him, I said, well, that's what a boy ought to be doing. Praise God. I don't mean they should pick up everything they pick up, but anyway. Well, you see, Noah knew that there would be no existence of his family if he didn't live and obey God, his Heavenly Father. If he didn't obey his Heavenly Father, there would be no children, there'd be no kids, there would be no human race ever. It all depended upon him believing God. And he believed God, and he lived that way. And they would all drown in the waters of God's judgment unless they obeyed. But Noah believed and he obeyed. And Noah was a father that prepared his family. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Yes. This was a huge project. A project that no doubt caused many jokes. Foolish talking among people that would look there and say, hey, old man, Do you really think this boat's going to float when there's no water here? Hey, old man, don't you think you're getting a little old and senile, and you're trying to build a ship that people don't even, and you're trying to get people to work on this thing, and you're trying to get labor here to work on this thing. This thing is big, you know, there's never been a boat. You know, why didn't you settle for a canoe? And I look at the approximate measurement of the ark. It would be 625 feet long, if the commentator is correct on this. 100 feet wide, 104 feet wide, 62 foot 6 inches high. It's higher than this building. And Noah's ark was bigger than this sanctuary. It was huge. And so it takes faith to build something like that. And Noah said, you know, after he drove the first few nails, I'm sure he got, you know, are you really sure about this, Lord? This is getting big. And I really don't have time to work on this. You know, what if he had offered all the excuses that we offer? God, I don't have time for you. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to go. I'll go to church if there's nothing else to do. I'll go on Father's Day or Mother's Day or Christmas or Easter. But I just don't want to. I'm afraid I might get too religious and all that stuff. I've heard stories. And all, you know, if we make excuses, there's always the devil always provides you a dozen excuses of why you shouldn't do something for God. But it didn't say that he did that. As people made fun of him, no doubt, he just kept on building. He just kept on working. He just kept on going with God. He just kept on going with the will of God. And my friend, because he kept on going, he and his family were saved when the flood came. And my friend, whether anybody else serves God or not, or anybody in your family serves God or not, you just keep on going on for God. You just keep living for him. You just keep building your life around Christ. You just keep building on the foundation of Christ. Amen. On this solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. You just build your life upon Christ. You walk with him. You serve him regardless of what anybody else does. You got to keep on. And Noah just kept on building. Took him a long time, but he just kept on building. And today there are people who mock the gospel. There are people who are caught up in unbelief. Don't believe God will judge the world again. Caught up in unbelief and think things will just go on as usual as they always have. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. This book says, and God says, and I believe it, amen, that he's going to judge the world again one day. Not with water this time, but with fire. And God's word says it. If God said it, I still believe it. He's going to judge the world. And depending on what we've done with his son, Jesus Christ, will depend on what where we're going to be through in eternity. Jesus prophesied about it in Scripture, for he said, for as in the days of the flood were before, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They were eating and drinking. There's nothing to do, it depends on what you're drinking, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Marrying and giving in, they were going on with a normal way of life the day the raindrops started falling. And knew not until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. And Jesus said, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. People will not be prepared for the coming of the Lord. There's people in the church world that won't be prepared for the rapture of the church. They're not living for God, and they don't live for God outside the church, and they're just not ready to go. And they didn't make plans, they didn't make preparations, they hadn't come to God, they hadn't been faithful to God, they turned away from God, they started doing things, says, well, you know, I want to drink and party and have fun tonight, but I'll go to church and repent in the morning. But they do that week after week after week, and you know, it just doesn't make sense, and after a while, they'll just be left behind when Jesus comes. It's a sad thing. So Noah prepared an ark to save his family. There was a time when God shut the door to the ark. Oh, no, his family were in. All the animals were in. You say, well, how did he get all them animals in the ark? I wasn't there. I don't know. But I just do believe two by two, seven of the clean came by the Spirit of God, prompting them to go. That's the only way it had to be a work of God, a miracle work of God. Got them all on. God shut the door. And I can see him in the background saying, you know, what's that old man doing now? He's making animals go into that ark. And he shut the door, you know. How's he going to get out of there? But you see, the raindrops of God's judgment began to fall. And they didn't stop for 40 days and 40 nights. The rain began to fall, and said, people said, when's it going to quit raining? We've had enough rain around here. You know, maybe it ought to stop. But it never did stop. And it covered all the high hills and the mountains. There was not a tip-top of any mountain seen in Noah's flood. It covered the whole earth. I know scientists will tell you that it's it covered part of the earth. Or those who don't really believe the Word of God, just only believe what they want to believe of it, they'll tell you, well, it was just a partial flood. No, it says all the high hills were under water. I have a friend that was a driller on an oil rig. And years ago, he said, I can't believe. He said, some of that dirt that come up from under a mile down in drilling would have seashells in it. And I'm not trying to build a case for anything. I'm just telling you something, that flood was worldwide. And nobody knows what it did to all the layers of dirt and sand up on this earth. And there's no way, if you have a carbon 14 measuring rod, you can't completely measure all the days and years by looking at samples of dust and things. Man, you can tell when your house has more dust than it did last week. But when it comes to the things of the earth, I have to leave that in the hand of God. But when those rains began to fall and didn't stop, there were eight people. Noah pastored the same church for however many years it took to build the ark and still had eight. So, but there were eight saved. And so judgment came and all living things died except what was on the ark. This judgment was total, whatever you want to call it, universal, global. It was thorough. No more corrupt activity on the earth. And there was nobody here mocking Noah or mocking God. They all drowned in the flood. And every living thing died. And God judged the earth. What does that say to us today, my friend? You just keep on, I've said it before, you just keep on building your life on Christ. You just keep on walking with God. You just keep on believing what He said. You just keep on living for God. God didn't save you to be a part-time Christian. God didn't save you to live for Him till things got to going too bad. God saved you to walk with Him from now until you enter heaven. Amen. My friend, things happen in this world. And you may die sick, and you may die whatever death you die. It may come sudden through tragedy or an accident or a disease. But if you're saved, you're born again of Christ, no matter how you die here, you can leave this world sick and still enter heaven. You can leave this world in a tragedy and still enter heaven. But you can die a natural death and a peaceful death and just go to sleep one day and wake and not wake up the next morning. That's the way we'd all like to die. But the one thing about it, it's appointed and a man wants to die. You're going to die physically, but you don't have to die in your relationship with God. And when you ascend, when you die physically, my friend, your spirit man leaves this body and you're immediately with Jesus. That's a deal nobody in the earth can give you. But God gave it. Come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. God will give you certainty and rest, free from worry and fear, and give you genuine assurance that whatever happens, that the judgment for your sins took place on the cross upon the Son of God, and He took the punishment for our sins upon Himself. He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so therefore we can be born again, be God's children, walk by faith, live by faith, die physically by faith, and never die again, because the spirit man leaves this body and goes to be with Jesus forever when you die physically. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just walk with God, live for God. Amen. Whenever you have an opportunity to be a father or grandfather. And I've got 6.5 of the best grandkids anybody could ever have. That means got one on the way. I know you do too. But wherever you can be a father, and wherever you can show mercy and help, do so. If you're not a father, you can be a help and a strength to a kid somewhere. God loves you. God cares for you. And Jesus put, he let nothing get in the way of him doing the will of his Heavenly Father to make salvation possible for you and I. We're a blessed people. Amen.